This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
It's time for Speak Legal, conversations with Community Law Otago.
And Nina Webb from Community Law Otago joins us once more. Morena, nice to have you with us. Nina, what are we going to be looking at today?
Morena, Jeff, thanks for having me. So today we'll be looking at how the Treaty of Waitangi or Te Tiriti o Waitangi clauses actually operate in New Zealand legislation. So we'll cover why the treaty isn't automatically enforceable in the courts unless Parliament has provided for it in statute, how general versus articulated treaty clauses differ, what Section 4 of the Conservation Act does in practice, how Parliament sets up the framework and interprets it, and what the current government review of treaty clauses could mean.
So is the treaty itself legally binding?
Yeah, so in New Zealand's legal system, the treaty is foundational but not directly enforceable unless Parliament incorporates it into legislation. That's why you see the treaty references or treaty clauses embedded across acts. So those are the legal hooks that make the treaty principles applicable in particular decisions.
So where do treaty references sit in our statute books?
Yeah, so they're scattered across many acts and regimes, for example, conservation, resources, education and health. And some provisions refer to the principles of the treaty, and some refer to Te Tiriti o Waitangi specifically, while others build mechanisms to give particular effect to Te Tiriti obligations.
All right, so what exactly is a treaty clause?
Yeah, so a treaty clause is a standalone statutory provision that tells decision makers how the treaty or its principles are relevant to powers and duties under that act. So we think of it as Parliament's instruction sheet. It can be broad and high level, or it can be detailed and operational.
Okay, there's two main kinds of treaty clauses. What are they?
Yeah, so the first one is our general clauses. So these are high level directions, and an example of this may be give effect to the principles or have regard to the principles. And then our second kind of clause is an articulated or elaborated clause. So they don't just name the treaty, they tie it to specific mechanisms in the statute. So, for example, they define principles or they may create specific committees to carry out enforcing the treaty.
So can you give us some examples, perhaps, of general clauses?
Yeah, one of the most popular ones would probably be the State-Owned Enterprises Act, and this is under Section 9. So it states, nothing in this act shall permit the Crown to act in a manner that is inconsistent with the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi. Then we have the Conservation Act, which is another very popular one. Under Section 4, it states, this act shall be interpreted and administered as to give effect to the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi. And then lastly, we've got the Crown Minerals Act, which is Section 4. It states that all persons exercising functions and powers under the act shall have regard to the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi.
Okay, so what does an articulated clause look like in practice?
Yeah, so an articulated clause spells out the treaty's role and builds it into the machinery of the Act. So an example of this would be the Pai Ora Act and the Educational Training Act, and they both set out treaty-related objectives, and they create governance bodies or obligations and specify how decision-makers particularly must give effect to honour Te Tiriti.
So why is there a trend towards articulated clauses?
Yeah, so normally we start to see more articulated clauses because they create clearer, more operational expectations. So instead of leaving everything to broad judicial interpretation, Parliament can specifically define how Te Tiriti is recognised in that sector. So they name the principles, establish partnership boards or mandating engagement and reporting. This tends to increase certainty for decision makers and the affected communities.
So who does what, Parliament or courts?
Yeah, so Parliament writes the clauses, then we have decision makers in those particular areas apply it, such as ministers, and then we have the courts review and interpret them. So since the Lands case in 1987, courts have approached the treaty clauses purposively and generously. So they look to the statute's objective and the constitutional significance of Te Tiriti.
Now, you mentioned the Conservation Act earlier. What does Section 4 of the Conservation Act actually do?
And so it requires anyone acting under the Act to give effect to treaty principles. So that is a very straightforward statement. So it creates a firm obligation across DOC's work. recent case law has enforced that decision, and under conservation legislation, it must be approached through a totality lens, not just treated as an afterthought.
All right, so it's very explicit in that piece of legislation. Do courts ever consider treaty principles even if an act is silent on it?
Yeah, so that can be a tough question, but yes, recent events signalled that the principles of totality can inform decision-making, especially where broad discretion is available. So the Supreme Court in the Trans-Tasman Resources case highlighted that decision-makers must act in a manner that recognises the Crown's obligation to give effect to treaty principles when assessing impacts on Māori.
All right, now we hear about this review of treaty clauses and legislation. What is it? What's going on there?
Yes, yeah, so this government has commissioned a review of treaty clauses across a defined list of statutes. So far it covers 23 different clauses. So it may recommend retaining, amending or removing clauses. Advisory groups have been set up so far and public commentary has raised concerns about consultation and consequences.
Yeah, so what could the review change and what positives and perhaps negatives might come out of this?
Yes, so some potential positives could be that they clear up drafting. So this will be specifically for general clauses. There could be more consistency across regimes and better designed obligation that match the statute's purpose. And then for our negative outcomes, there could be weakening or removing of clauses, and they could unsettle arrangements that have already been made. So this would include treaty settlement mechanisms that rely on those particular clauses. It may also reduce protection for Māori interest and shift pressure onto the courts via other doctrines, as there will be less certainty. And this could also create litigation risk.
All right. So, Nina, it's a big topic in Aotearoa New Zealand at the moment. What are the big takeaways for listeners today, do you think?
Yeah, so treaty clauses are the vehicles that make totality legally operative in particular statutes. General clauses set out that destination, while articulated clauses build the road to get there. Section 4 of the Conservation Act is a powerful example of how this may work in action. Courts read treaty-relevant statutes purposively and are increasingly explicit that totality principles matter, sometimes even where the statute is silent. So any review that pairs back treaty clauses will have real-world effects for decision-making, multi-crown relationships, and constitutional practice in general.
Yeah, right. So if you think it doesn't affect you, it certainly does. This is quite foundational to New Zealand law and how it's interpreted, and I guess we will wait and see how that goes, how the consultation process goes, and how it gives effect to any change that the government might want to see. I think we'll probably be talking about this again, Nina. Thanks so much for joining us here for another edition of Speak Legal. We look forward to catching up with Community Law Otago at the same time next week.
Community Law Otago, free legal advice and support for the people of Otago. Advice clinic times are available from the website, communitylawotago.com. We're based at 169 Princes Street. To make an appointment, call 03 474 1922. Community Law Otago, proud to bring you Speak Legal. Check out the podcast at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.